This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Happy NFL playoff day, everybody. It's crazy that the playoffs are here, and the demand is high for the NFL's product. You know, I talk about the NFL being the single most popular thing in this country, and it very well may be. There was a period there where I wondered if it would wane and change and dissipate, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. At least not for a while. You know, King Kong is basically, Denzel Washington in Training Day is basically the NFL. I don't know if you saw the data. Now, this is from an NFL press release, essentially, but a nice little graphic they had. But the season was the most watched since 2016, which is impressive considering in 2016, even, things were different than they are now. Just like they were before that, the way things are consumed is different and continues to evolve and change. So the old measurements really shouldn't apply to the modern day consumption. But 5% up was viewership across TV and digital. 5% up was traditional television ratings measurement. 51% up digital consumption. Up 5% female TV viewership. And this is pretty wild. Since the start of September, NFL games make up the entire top 10, 28 of the top 30, and 47 of the top 50 telecasts. All the top 10, 28 of 30, and 47 of 50. And when you hear that in isolation, it sounds like nothing. But think about it for a second. Think about the coverage of the NFL, the stories that the NFL has withstood. You know, that you hear about the Shield, that thing's doing work like Captain America's. Because the league itself has an existential crisis that hangs over it, which is the sport and the damage that the sport does to the human body, more specifically the human mind. And I still think that's the biggest issue that they face going forward. But knowing what we know about that, that was one thing they had to deal with. Another thing is, you know, Colin Kaepernick and his situation and the protests we know and the reaction and what the president said, blah, 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 blah. I don't mean to blah, 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 like it wasn't a big deal, but you know what I mean. It was a story that was covered exhaustively for years. There was complaints about the way the league handled domestic violence situations, player conduct. How about the rules? You know, how many fans said that the rules are terrible or the officiating is terrible? I mean, they had the biggest missed call perhaps anyone's ever seen just last season. And there were 2 weeks of takes about it. 2 weeks of takes about it and no effect. How many people have complained about what a catch is? Tom Brady logged on to Twitter and said he was going to stop watching a game earlier this year. Roger Goodell, have you ever heard anyone say anything positive about Roger Goodell? No. Nevertheless, the numbers are what they are, which shows you just how in demand the product is. You know, I sometimes say the NBA is just as talked about as the NFL, which may be true, but nothing is viewed like the NFL. And I'm not saying that from, you know, a PR standpoint. Like I said before, and I've said a million times, basketball is my favorite sport, but football is the sport. When you're talking about red and blue states, cities and flyover, men and women, boys and girls, children of all ages. What was the, Anthony, what was the old DX thing that Road Dogg used to say? Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you. And then they went around introducing everyone that had like a championship. And yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's basically the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Seems to be the appeal. And there are a number of reasons for that, of course. I mean, people just like the product. People like to gamble. People like to play fantasy football. You know how many kids' birthday parties I've been to? You know, I have a 5-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. I've been to so many kids' birthday parties where I just overhear the other parents talking about their fantasy football teams. And because some of them know what I do, they always want to bring me in. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to talk about your I don't care about your fantasy football team. you know, but it shows you the, you know, how widespread that is. And you see it in the numbers. So I guarantee you, if you're listening to this show, you're probably excited today about the NFL playoffs. And you can give me a call on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And you look at the slate of games, and there are a couple that stand out, to me at least. Tennessee and New England, and Seattle and Philadelphia. Those are the ones that I'm intrigued by. Now let's start with that first one, Tennessee and New England, because, boy, oh, boy, a lot of people are saying the Patriots are finished. And the dynasty is dead. And we will watch the demise of Belichick and Brady this evening. It's coming. Who's ready? I mean, Tom Brady, is he the worst quarterback in the playoffs? That's the way you hear it. He's the worst. Would you take Tannehill or Brady? Kirk Cousins or Brady? I mean, in all seriousness, he may be, those might be the only guys you could say you'd take him over right now. And Josh Allen. I mean, if you're looking at ranking the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs at the moment, I love Mahomes and I love Lamar Jackson. But if there's one guy I would trust more than anybody else, it's actually Russell Wilson. He's the guy who is proven and still in his prime and, you know, has that improvisational ability. You know, if there were one quarterback that I would want to give the ball to if I'm down 6 points with a minute and 15 seconds left out of all the guys that are playing, it's Russell Wilson. Now, that doesn't mean the Seahawks are going to do anything. But it is him I would choose. And I sort of talk about Brady in jest based on the way he has been covered as of late. And obviously, Brady's 42 years old. The struggle was going to come. And his numbers are down a little bit. But I am very wary of the coverage I've seen about New England heading into this game. You know, I have a stock line I like to use, which is, I don't need to be the guy that predicts two things. I don't need to be the guy to call it. One, the demise of the Patriots, and two, the demise of LeBron James. Like, they're going to happen at some point, but I don't need to be the smartest one in the room on those, because those two things are different. Like, they're different. We never seen a run like New England's had. When did it start? In 2001? We're getting on 20 years. We never seen a run like LeBron has had still in his 17th season. So, yeah, by all normal measures, they should be over. But they're not. And when they are over, I'll acknowledge it. But I don't need to be the one with the foresight. You know, I don't. That's not the one I need to call, because a lot of people have called the demise of the Patriots many times. I mean, every time they start 2-2 to begin a season. And it just feels like there's way too many people picking Tennessee for that to actually happen. Now, that's not real analysis, right? Just because people are picking them doesn't mean that the Patriots are going to win. The real analysis to me would be that, you know, that Belichick makes you fight left-handed, makes you go to your left. You know, they're going to take away Derrick Henry, I would imagine, in this game as New England. I bet you Derrick Henry runs for like 63 yards in this game and forced Tannehill to beat them. Now, Tannehill is a guy who probably was held back by circumstances early in his career, because he's definitely got a lot of talent. He's definitely a really good athlete. I just don't know if he's quite ready for prime time yet. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe all those people are right. But it just doesn't feel like the demise of the Patriots is going to come in week one of the playoffs at home against a 9-7 team. With that said, you want to hear something wild? I think this is the first time that New England has played in week one of the postseason since 2009. Think about that for a second. And then that's not because they made it there and then didn't make it for a while and made it back there. They've been there the whole time. And still, they've been penciled into the second round of the playoffs. I mean, I refer to the AFC East as Patriots and Friends. It really is. Patriots and Friends, they win that division, and they get a first-round bye, and that puts them in a good position. I mean, the one thing that actually has me doubting New England is that loss to Miami. Because that didn't feel very Patriots-esque. To have that in front of them for the taking and drop to the Dolphins. Nevertheless, you look at their record, they're still 12-4. They still have the second best point differential in the entire league behind Baltimore. No, third best. San Francisco's 2. But point stands. Are we really going to witness the end of the New England Patriots today, tonight? Is that it? We're going to dance on their graves tonight? Should I get my dancing shoes on? I don't know. Do you dance on a grave with dancing shoes? Actually, you went like some sort of all-purpose shoe because you'd be in the dirt. Nevertheless, is it going to happen? The end of Brady and Belichick to Ryan Tannehill tonight? Because everybody seems to be saying it. Call me skeptical.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
The worst quarterback in the playoffs, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots host the Tennessee Titans today in what will be their miserable demise. The Patriots will fall. They will be vanquished by Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry. And we will all laugh at their end as they meet it with the miserable taste of defeat. I mean, that's the way you would think it's going to go today. Remember the whole Patriots, like, nobody believed in us thing last year, which was super annoying? But if they had done that this year, I actually couldn't get too mad at them. Last year, like, it was like, come on, dude. Just because, like, one person picked against you or two people who happened to have a big platform were negative about you, that's not nobody believed in you. You're favored in all these games. But this year, all right, they've got a case, because they are the most lampooned and dismissed 12-4 team I've ever seen in my life. Now, I got to admit, it does kind of feel like it this time, right? They can't score at the same level. Brady is older. They did lose to the Dolphins. They don't really have signature wins on the season. They're playing in wild card weekend. It does kind of feel like maybe this is it. Because I do think when they lose and are eliminated, regardless, it could be it. I mean, there's been too much smoke about Brady going somewhere else, which I don't really understand. I don't get the upside for Brady. I mean, there is a sliver of upside. Like, if Brady were to go somewhere else and kill it, no one could ever say anything about him ever again. Like, there's nothing you could say. But to me, the risk, the downside is too great, because even if he goes somewhere else and struggles, it would almost for sure be his age, right? But people would use that to say he only did it with the Patriots, and he was only who he was because of the Patriots system. Nevertheless, it feels like just way too many people are picking Tennessee and saying that today it's going to happen for me to believe it. I don't need to be the guy that calls it. I don't need to be the one who identifies the demise of the Patriots. If it happens, I'll be right there with everybody talking about it. And I can't tell you I'll be upset about it, but I've seen them do it too many times where I look at that 5-point spread and I think, oh, yeah, New England's going to win this game by 9 points. They're going to win this game 23-14, something like that. Nevertheless, a lot of you seem to think it's over for them and that they can't get it done, and Brady is now a bum. I mean, which quarterback would you take in the game, Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Alan, you're up here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Robin. I heard the weather forecast for Gillette Stadium, and it calls for inclement weather. Not good at all. And this is where the running game comes in. There is no comparison between the two running games. Derrick Henry, 1,541 yards, and the Patriots had 1,703. There is no comparison between Henry and James White. White only had 203. And Harold Landry is going to put a lot of pressure on Brady. Edelman, he could have had another week off. You know, it's too bad he didn't get the bye week. He's just had 10 receptions in the last 3 weeks. And the Titans, they're going to really be up for it a little bit more, because they're going to try to avenge their 35-14 loss January 13th, 2 years ago, in the AFC title victory. So they're going to be up for it. And every figure is pointing to a Titans victory. But then again, I'm with you. I like to stick with the champion until he's beaten. I'm very hesitant to crown the Titans. So we'll just have to see what we will see. But I hope the weather forecasters are wrong. They've been wrong before, but it does not look good for their weather forecast.
Well, you talk about the running game, though. Again, I don't think the Titans are going to beat the Patriots with their running game. I don't think that's the way it's going to happen, because the Patriots know that's what they want to do. And if I know Bill Belichick, the one thing he'll do is take away what you want to do best, what you're most comfortable with. That's his, you know, beyond all the other strategies, that's the one that's easily identifiable. You know, obviously he's doing more than just that in his game plans and what he's been able to accomplish, but that's what you see as his go-to move, right? Like, whatever you like to do, no. Figure out how to beat us without that. I mean, it's one of the reasons the Patriots have struggled against quarterbacks who can run, because you can't really game plan against something that happens on the fly. You know, a quarterback makes a play and decides to run out of the pocket on a design pass or a design run, what have you, and the script gets changed, that all bets are off at that point. But the basic by-the-book stuff, I would be very surprised if the Patriots allow Derrick Henry to run all over him. And that's no judgment of Henry. I mean, Henry's obviously a terrific back. We've seen what he's done this year. But they're going to stack that box and not allow that to happen. Now, if Ryan Tannehill beats them, I mean, you can't stop everything. And Tannehill has been excellent since he took over for Mariota. I mean, basically by any number, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 70% completion percentage. Average yards per attempt, that's the one that really gets 9.6. That's a huge number for that stat. So if he gets it done, maybe they will be done. I mean, maybe it is just time. I just, I'm having a difficulty with the number of people who I've seen go with Tennessee. Again, the Titans were a nice story, but they still were 9-17 when all was said and done. And – the Patriots are at home. You know, I don't, this isn't the year I'm picking New England to go to Kansas City and win and then go to Baltimore and win. But I would be surprised if the end were to happen in Foxborough against the Tennessee Titans. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. NFL Wild Card Weekend, what do you think? You know, is this the end of the Patriots? Will we be watching their demise live today? You can weigh in on any of the other games as well, of course. Buffalo and Houston, I don't know what to make of that one. I have no idea what's going to happen in that game. Minnesota and New Orleans, I kind of think New Orleans runs away with that one at home. And then Seattle and Philadelphia, that's the other really intriguing one to me. You know, I trust Russell Wilson more than any other quarterback in the playoffs. But Seattle, they're banged up. So is Philly. But Philly's at home and it seemed to be getting it together a little bit over the last several weeks. So that's another tough pick in my mind.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
I mean, I kind of do think the Patriots are getting a little disrespected this time around, given what they've accomplished, how long they've done it for, and the number of people I've seen pick the Titans in week one of the playoffs on the road. You know, maybe it's the hot team. Maybe that's all it is. And Tennessee is a hot team. They started the season rough with Mariota at quarterback. I think they were 2-4. They wound up at 9-7. You can do the math on how they finished. Tannehill showed his talent. You know, he's a terrific athlete. Obviously, Derrick Henry can really run. A.J. Brown is a beast at wide receiver. They've got a squad. They're playing well. But I haven't seen them prove anything yet. That's where my hesitancy comes from, right? Like, the Titans sort of snuck up on you this year. You're like, you look at the standings a couple weeks ago, you go, oh, wait, they could make the playoffs? You didn't even think about it. The Patriots, meanwhile, they've done it every single year. Call me skeptical about the dynasty ending against the Titans. Let's go to Matt in Knoxville, Tennessee. Matt, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Good morning, Robin. I agree with you about the Patriots. I mean, because here's the thing. Belichick is still just a mastermind, and he is, for 20 years plus, taking the tools he has on hand and made the most of it and made incredible coaching decisions. I mean, I can guarantee you he came up with a great game plan, and he slept easy tonight, and he's waking up ready to go, and that's it. Like, I mean, Brady's slowing down. There's no argument about that. But, you know, as long as Belichick's the coach, I would never count the Patriots, regardless of who their opponent is. But especially a kind of a Titans team that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience.
Yeah, it's different than if this was in Kansas City or in Baltimore, right? You know, like a team that did it all year. Yeah, you have a certain level of a track record with Harbaugh in Baltimore. Obviously, the season Lamar Jackson has had. Same goes for Kansas City with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But Tennessee is just kind of like, are they really for real? I mean, look, if they win that game, then sure, they are. And the Patriots stumbled at the end of the season. That's for sure. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, I would have thought for sure they would have won three games in a row, clinched that bye, and been good money. But instead, you frame it differently, and they've lost 3 out of 5. They beat Cincinnati after filming them. There was no link established by the NFL, by the way. I always love the way they use the phrasing. It's very careful phrasing. The NFL uses it in a lot of cases. Found no evidence. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, doesn't mean it didn't happen, just means they couldn't prove it. And who would have thought that they would be able to find a direct link between Belichick and that camera crew? Of course they didn't find that. What do you think, there was like an email or a recording of Belichick telling them to do it? They were never going to find that. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Peter in Toronto. Peter, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
There's two things in football. You either are champs or you choke. you know, there's not been a playoff game or even a Super Bowl game that I've witnessed where the other team has not choked against the Patriots. The Patriots don't choke. The Patriots do not choke. They're going to win. The only thing they have going against them is the start of a new decade. It's the only thing they have going against them. But there is no reason why they should lose. Again, every other team chokes against them for some reason. Whether they're up by 20 going to the fourth quarter, they choke. Whether they're up by 5 or 3 with a minute left, they choke. Nobody has ever gone out and beaten the Patriots from start to finish in a playoff game in, what, 10 years? Not going to happen.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's either you win or you choke. I mean, I don't think that's all there is to it. There are a lot of games where a team can play well and lose to a superior team, or a team doesn't really have business being where they're at and just happens to, you know what I mean. But I do agree with your big picture point about the Patriots. They don't beat themselves. That's the prevailing notion. Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen New England come out and just squander a game where they fumble the opening snap, they have a kickoff return against them, that kind of stuff? That doesn't happen to the Patriots. They're always, you know, that's what keeps them in the striking distance game. So I could see this one. I could see Tennessee, you know, hanging in there early. You go into half, it's 10-6 or something like that, and the Patriots wind up winning the game 23-13. You know, that's the way this one feels to me. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Look, if there's something I'd be wrong about, it's this. I'll be happy. But I'm also not going to feel bad about picking the Patriots against the Titans at home. 855-212-4227. You know, Brady versus Tannehill. That really tells you a lot, right? How do you feel about Brady versus Tannehill? Because if you're taking Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady based on a few weeks, that tells you either that you're delusional and hate the Patriots, or you really honestly believe that Brady's finished and so is the Patriots' run. Because if Brady's finished, so is the Patriots' run until they find a replacement for him. Greg in Sacramento. Greg, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Tom Brady is actually my neighbor back in San Mateo. Grew up a 49ers fan. And I'm still a 49ers fan. I don't believe it's going to end up today. I still believe that they're going to make it. That's all I can say. It's not the end of Tom Brady and Sosa in New England today.
I mean, yeah, that's what I've been saying. It seems tough for me to believe that. I mean, it just, here's the thing with the Patriots. It's like this with them, and it's like this with the Dallas Cowboys. They're really the two teams this applies to. They get talked about more than every other team by a mile. So it lends itself to more extreme takes and thought process. You know, for instance, the way the Cowboys are talked about, you would think they're the Browns. And the Cowboys haven't won a championship in a long time. They underachieved this year for sure. But it's not like they've been a terrible franchise. They haven't been as terrible as people would have you believe, nor is Jason Garrett's track record. Jason Garrett's coached there 10 years. How many coaches coach 10 years in the NFL? Not many. That's a rare thing. And he's nearly 20 games over 500. And we'll get to that situation in a little bit. But that, you know, that's hardly some flaming disaster. We're not talking Freddie Kitchens and the Browns or Hugh Jackson and the Browns. But that's the way it sounds when you hear people talk about the Cowboys, because it's talked about incessantly. I mean, this Jason Garrett situation is the longest firing in the history of firings. He was fired on Thanksgiving. Then he was fired the next week against the Browns. And he's been fired every minute since. And then meanwhile with the Patriots, you know, because they're so familiar to us, because Brady is in many ways the face of the league, and they've been dynastic, where anytime there's a dynasty, people feel a certain way about it. And people feel even more strongly, I think, about New England, because with New England, there are other factors. There is the cheating. There is, you know, some of the way that Belichick has conducted himself with the media, or, you know, some of the views or relationships that the Patriots have expressed publicly. Like, there's just a lot beneath the surface, the fan base there that people might not like, where people feel a certain way about the Patriots, even if they're bored by them, that they still, when their game is on, they're tuned in, and they wind up rooting for the Rams, who can't score a dang touchdown, or thinking it's over when it's 28-3 Falcons. You know, like, the Patriots draw that in, so therefore they get talked about a lot. And how many times have we seen that script where they start the season 2-2, or they have a rough week, and people ask, is this the end? Now, the end will come, and it does feel more real this time. Don't get me wrong. It just, the way you would think about the Patriots this week, from the way they've been talked about, is as if they were 9-7 and squeaked into the playoffs. They're 12-4. Mike in Myrtle Beach. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin.
Morning.
I'm a lifetime Bill fan, and I have watched Tom Brady pick us apart for every game except for one glimmer in 2009, but Leotis McKelvin fumbled the kickoff, and that was another Brady moment. But anyway, the reason I'm calling is because on a social media site that we all follow, Tom Brady's father eats dinner all the time at the restaurant of a guy who's a longtime Bills backer. And he said that Tommy just can't wait until the season is over so he can have his operation.
What operation? You mean hurt?
Know. All of a sudden, Dad backed up and stopped talking about something. He realized, as his wife probably kicked him under the table, that he said something out of place.
What are you talking about? I mean, I haven't seen this.
Bill's Mafia Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Facebook group is a post that came up yesterday. So you know it's true. You know it's true. It's on the internet.
Wait, so Tom Brady's dad posts on a site called Bill's Mafia?
No. Follow me here. Uh-huh. Guy from Buffalo. Yeah. Manages a restaurant in Brady's hometown. Brady's father, regular customer.
Okay.
Talking to him, chatty, blah, blah, blah. Well, Tommy just can't wait till the season's over so he can have his operation.
Okay. So it's a secondhand rumor.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we're going with. All right. I was just trying to identify the report that I was getting here from Mike in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, you can replay it, and that's about what I said all the way through. But here's the point. It's early in the morning. You want to stir up the soup a little bit. This is a good one. I got a kick out of it last night when I read it.
There you go. All right. Mike in Myrtle Beach reports via Bill's Mafia, via somebody who claims to own a restaurant that Tom Brady's dad frequents, that Brady is hurt and will have an operation in the offseason. Take the report for what it's worth. Breaking news. I mean, look, it's not that wild if that were to be the case, but I probably will wait for a little bit more substance before I run with it. At least two sources. That's the rule in journalism, right? You need two sources. So before I break that news myself, I'm going to wait for a second source to back it up. Now, I might use Mike and Myrtle Beach as one of my two sources if I get a real source, but until then, I will hold off. How about Charity in Youngstown, Ohio? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
What's going on?
Good. I'm just a lifetime Bills fan, but I'm not going to be like the other caller saying I got some kind of rumor or nothing like that. But I just want to get your opinion about the Bills, because they've been like a sneaky good team all year. Like, we barely lost to the Baltimore, barely lost to New England twice. But well, I think we're sneaky good. I'm like in the middle with this game today. But I believe we're like a big receiver away from being like a Super Bowl contender, because we got John Brown and Beasley, but they're so small. But I think if we win today, that's our ceiling. You know, I'm a realist, you know, at the end of the day. I think we can win today in Houston, but after that, we can't win in Kansas City. We can't win in Baltimore. I know that. But if you would have told me before the season that, you know, the Buffalo Bills will lose in the second round, the first round of the playoffs, I would take that in a heartbeat because, you know, no one really picked us, even Buffalo fans really picked us to even, you know, make the playoffs. So everything we're doing now is like experience for Josh Allen. And I think it's all like a learning curve. Like there's no more, you know, 5-11 Buffalo Bills. This is like an upswing for our franchise. What do you think, sir?
I think that's fair. I do. I think that's fair. That's the game of all the games. I have no idea what's going to happen in that one. I really don't, because Deshaun Watson has proven himself in big games across the board. But that Texans team feels kind of eh to me. And Buffalo, I think you put it pretty well. They're a nice team, but they don't score enough. You know, they need some explosion. They would have won some of these games that you're referencing if they had put some points on the board. Because they've been in a lot of tight games. And they don't put any points on the board. You know, they lost to New England because they scored 17 points. They lost to Baltimore because they only scored 17 points. They lost to New England the other time because they only scored 10 points. You know, they're going to have to put more points on the board if they're going to win playoff games. That's just the truth of the matter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.